You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Nick Hoschka, the CEO of the Wright Gardner, a San Francisco Bay Area office plant company that sells, leases, and maintains office plants. Mr. Hoschka, pleasure to have you with us from San Francisco here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You bet, and it's certainly our pleasure. So for starters, how did you get involved in the Wright Gardner? Let's start there.
Yeah, so my professional background is mostly in social and environmental impact businesses. And I've been doing that in a variety of capacities for the better part of the last 10 years as a consultant, as an executive, as a startup founder. Most recently, I was working for an electric vehicle startup that didn't make it. And rather than going out and finding a new job, I decided to try to find a business that I would really just enjoy running and kind of fit with my lifestyle, being a dad with young kids and a business person. Sometimes finding that lifestyle balance is not easy. And so I started searching for businesses to buy, and within a couple of months, stumbled upon this little plant company in San Francisco, great reputation, really, really great owner, and he was getting ready to sell the business so he could retire. And so I found the Wright Gardner that way, through just scrolling through business listings, and I met the owner, and we really clicked, and I really loved the business and the story and just the whole, everything about it. And I ended up acquiring the business from him, and I had a couple of financial partners who are also kind of advisors who helped me do that, and that's kind of the start of the story at the Wright Gardner.
I got to say, that's quite interesting, and the passion certainly comes out in your explanation on some of the backstory there. Now, what attracted you to this business to begin with?
I think at the beginning, it was that it really fit with a lot of the stuff that I'd been doing around environmental businesses, the interior plant business. It's got aspects of kind of green building that I had been involved in prior, and really just speaks to the whole idea that, humans have this innate connection to nature. And I've explored that in different ways in my career, looking at energy efficient buildings and how do you design an indoor environment that is healthy and refreshing and good to be in. And most of that has been from the energy efficiency perspective. With plants, it's sort of a different aspect of, I think, some of the same fundamental ideas. And increasingly, I think that connection is being explored through architecture and interior design of the built environment. Even just the whole story of how plantscaping came about really was alluring to me, because in something that I thought it would be really cool to be a part of. And the story, I can abbreviate it a little bit, but basically back in the 70s, when we had the energy crisis, the people running the buildings, most of these like large commercial buildings are hermetically sealed. And so they rely on a mechanical system to bring in exterior air, which is a very energy intensive process. And so what they did is, to conserve energy, they started turning down ventilation systems. And unbeknownst to them, that has pretty significant impacts on the indoor air quality. And so people were starting to get sick, and a whole area of study emerged around sick building syndrome and the impacts of not having really high quality air. Part of the response to that was actually the plantscaping industry, which was, well, hey, what if we put plants? The job of plants is to turn carbon dioxide back into oxygen, and they work kind of in harmony with humans and animals. And NASA conducted a study to figure out, okay, well, if we're going to put plants in the indoor environment, which plants are going to be most effective at doing that? And that was an area of inquiry specifically for the space program, because obviously in outer space they need a way to create air quality. And so all these ideas started coming together, and the plantscaping industry was born and really became kind of a normal part of an interior commercial office. And so there's an aspect, you know, so the plantscaping industry has been around for the last 40 years, and you find a lot of little plant companies that were founded around then. And the Right Gardener is no exception.
Yet again, most interesting, really some interesting stuff there. What has been your focus since you took over?
So overall, I mean, my real top priority has been kind of setting and reinforcing a new culture. As I was planning to take on the role, I had a few months to prepare because the acquisition process was took several months. And so, you know, I had a lot of good time to reflect and figure out, you know, how do I distill down basic principles that are going to make us successful, that we can kind of rest on and rely on every day to guide us. And I settled on three things, and I've kind of stuck with them, you know, from my first meeting with the staff all the way into really just every day. And those three principles are people first, better every day, and have fun. And I think they encapsulate kind of what I'm about as a leader and what I want our company to be about. And I think if we stick with them and use them as a guiding framework, I really believe that we'll have a great company. And I can go into them a little bit. So the people first aspect is an important one. We're a service business, and our service is provided by our team members. And I really think that if you get the people stuff right, everything else will follow. And in that, I don't distinguish between clients and employees. Both, you know, all are people that matter, and in certain cases, there's trade-offs between those two. But at the end of the day, you know, if you take care of people, whether they be they clients or be they employees, you'll do well. The second aspect is the kind of better every day theme. It's really a theme of continuous improvement, trying to make daunting tasks into really digestible, actionable things that where you're going to see, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to see like I feel or see and feel like you got better that day. And we practice that, I'd say, pretty much every day. And I always try to come up with challenges for myself and in new ways to implement that. And then last, I think have fun for me is like my personal touch on it. It's kind of how I view work. I love work. I've always worked. And I love being an entrepreneur and learning and helping other people grow and figuring out the best way to do things. And that's, you know, as peculiar as I may be, that's all fun for me. So I guess those are really the three principles. And that's kind of been my focus, is how to all thinking of all the different ways that I can reinforce that and get the team, you know, operating that way. And then as far as how I've turn those into really, you know, into the day-to-day, and what we've actually done with that. We've, you know, in just over we acquired in March of last year the first company, the Right Gardener, and we've been steadily implementing lots of new processes, new technology improvements. We've actually acquired three more plant companies. You know, we've doubled the staff. We've shuffled around roles quite a bit. We've done a ton of training, ton of cross training, and really try to create interesting opportunities that let our team members do their best work every day. So, at the end of the day, you know, we're doing our best to keep it all positive and make the customers love us.
Yeah, this is absolutely outstanding, and really appreciate your sharing that thoroughly today. We're joined by Mr. Nick Hoschka, the CEO of the Right Gardener, a San Francisco Bay Area office plant company that sells, leases, and maintains office plants, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Nick, it seems you've done a lot of acquisitions in a pretty short time. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so far we've acquired three companies in a little less than a year, and then our fourth is one we're working on right now. The common thread is all of them were retirement situations. Each of them has been in business for over 30 years, some of them over 40. All the businesses are similar in terms of products, services, even customer base. But each, you know, has had its own quirks. The personality and preferences of each of the owners is pretty deeply embedded in the culture of each of those organizations, and we've done our best to learn from each of those owners as much as possible and use the opportunities when bringing these companies together to really explore how they did things and why they did them. And at the end of the day, to kind of cherry pick the best ideas and to implement them across our company. And overall, you know, the acquisition can be a difficult situation. People can be fearful. Customers can be fearful. You don't want to raise alarm. We've worked really hard to be a responsible acquirer because you don't want to get a bad name. You don't, you know, you want to be authentic and genuine in your intentions and make it clear to everybody that this, that acquisition doesn't have to be scary. It can be an opportunity. It can be really positive. And we've really worked hard to make it positive for everyone involved. In particular, our sellers and our new employees, and our customers, because the customers, at the end of the day, the customers make the business what it is. But the employees are the ones doing the service, and those sellers were successful for a reason. And so, if we want to keep that going, we really have to make sure that we honor the wishes of that retiring owner and help kind of cement and build on the legacy that they created as they pass the torch to us. And that means, you know, treating their employees respectfully and fairly, treating them respectfully and fairly, and making sure that that if nothing else, the customers continue to get the great service that they have always expected.
Now, from what I can see on the surface, it sounds like this could create some real management challenges around people and change. Can you tell us how you've handled that, some of those challenges?
Yeah, that has definitely been prominent in my day-to-day, because we've brought on a lot of new people who are set in their ways, who are used to a different owner, who maybe did things differently than we did. A lot of these companies were, because they've been around for a long time, their processes and policies and procedures were, you know, admittedly outdated. And that means, and we as a much newer company, we've implemented a lot of the new tools and new processes and new capabilities, especially technology and the use of the mobile phone and mobile applications to really make our service, you know, as good as it could possibly be. And many of those tools weren't available when most of the processes that these older companies were using were developed. So, yeah, in terms of people management, at the end of the day, I always go back to the big three, which is people first, better every day, and have fun doing it. But we've kind of had to take them as they come, and really focus hard on the individuals and treating each person with respect and making sure that your policies are flexible and that you don't create more resistance and more fear than you need to be, because you kind of got to remember, you know, why you're there and what you're doing. And if you can, you know, stick to the basics and make sure that people feel respected, and they'll work for you, and they'll do what you need them to do. And they will do it, you know, with a good attitude and without creating a lot of problems. But no doubt people have had to kind of get their arms around change, and really communication has been key, and just making sure that everybody gets the time and attention, and you really set the direction and set the framework, and make sure that they know, you know, if you don't know how to do something in the new company, like, come tell us, we'll help. You know, we're here to help the employees be successful, so that we can all deliver on the service promise that we need to deliver to keep our customers coming back. So overall, it's been very positive.
Well, Nick, it certainly has been awesome to have had you, and wish you nothing but continued success there with the Wright Gardener there in San Francisco. If listeners wanted to get further information on the Wright Gardener, where could they find further details online?
You could go to therightgardener.com. And the spelling is Wright like the Wright brothers, and Gardner like the surname, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. Or they can follow us on Instagram. That's really the best because we're a very visual business. And so if you want to see the latest and greatest of the different different creative plantscaping ideas, plants, horticultural decor, living walls, and all the like, that's the place to see it.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Hoschka, all the best. And thanks again for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
And you too. We've been speaking with Mr. Nick Hoschka, the CEO of the Wright Gardner, a San Francisco Bay Area office plant company that sells, leases, and maintains office plants. And for further details, visit thewrightgardner.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.